when you groan or you moan about something that makes you very sad. Vahi b'shalach parosam. So why does the Torah say vahi? It should be b'shalach parosam. Why is vahi? So who was moaning and groaning and who was sad and sorrowful? So the simple reason is that Paro was sad because he lost the slaves. But according to one version of the Medrash, it was actually Moshe who was sad. Why was Moshe sad? Why was Moshe groaning? What caused Moshe such anxiety? So Chazal say that Moshe was crying because he says, I'm working so hard to take Am Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and I'm working so hard to carry the bones of Yosef, and I already know I won't come into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe already saw through a prophecy that he wasn't entering the land. According to an earlier Medrash in Chazal, he already felt that instinctively after he had accused Am Yisrael of not being believers, v'hin lo yaminu li, and Hashem punished him. So at that point already, part of his fate began to be sealed, even before Parshas Chukas, 40 years later, with the hitting of the rock and the anger that he flashed at Am Yisrael. And yet, even though Moshe knows he won't be the person bringing Am Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, he still works furiously to do his part. So it's a lesson, a moral lesson, a historical lesson. It's a moral lesson. Sometimes the best chesed is the hardest chesed is when you're not going to get the spotlight. You won't be the person finishing the job. You're just starting something. People won't associate it with you. Can you feel responsible enough to mission and to duty to perform a task with dignity and with honor, even though it won't be ultimately the task that you will complete? Can you see yourself as part of something larger? The second issue is not just moral but historical, is where we are now. Will Mashiach come in our day? I don't know, my time's running out. Your time is a little longer, but maybe running out also. Do you have that historical sensibility that even though you won't be part of the final frames of Geula, you'll still create infrastructure and progress and preliminary stages? So it's not just morally that is, if Moshe has a task to fulfill in some deserted island somewhere that he won't get credit for, but it's in particular about Geula. Moshe knows that he won't be the Goel. Ultimately, Yeshua will, but he still is someone who is working. So at the very, very first pasuk of Yetzias Mitzrayim, right before Moshe's career is about to skyrocket, we get a little keyhole into Moshe's heart, and he senses the pain of not being able to be that final part of the final process, and yet he's still working hard. Okay, another interesting medrash. Vayasev Elokim Es'am Derech Yamsuf. So when we talk about Haseba, Pesach night, it's a Takanas Chachamim, in order to enhance the luxurious setting of Dalet Kosos, of Achilas Matzah, of Achilas Suda. Miri says you should have a Seba during the entire night, even during Hallel. It's a Takanas Chachamim, because a Seba in those days was a sign of luxury, especially when the Chachamim made a Takana, not just during the Greek and Roman period, but even before. Ancient people used to eat reclining, and since ancient people ate reclining, when Chazal wanted to create a sense of indulgence on Pesach night, they told us to eat while reclining, which creates a major, major challenge today, because for us reclining really isn't a sign of joy. It's very hard and awkward for us to eat when we're reclining. In fact, some people just do it symbolically, a little bit of a seba. They don't sit there in a super makri because it's not our way of eating. It's almost as if the intent of Chazal has been reversed, because today to eat seba. So why do people still perform a seba? Why do people makri to still perform a seba even though it's uncomfortable? Because there's a different source for a seba, and it's in the Medrash in Parshas B'Shalach. It's not just because Eli Nad and Tina in 2023 will feel comfortable eating, leaning over to your left or leaning over to your own pillow. The Torah says, Vayaseh Elokim Es'am Derech Yamsuf. Hashem circumvented the people. Instead of going up the west coast of Israel, he took them around. Took them around and around through modern-day Jordan, where they ultimately entered 40 years later. But Chazal Darshan, Vayaseh doesn't just mean he took them circumvently, but he spent an entire week treating them to meals like kings and royals, and they were reclining on sofas and eating. And because of that historical precedent, even though today it doesn't have the same meaning, we're not just performing a seba because for me in this period it's comfortable. I'm performing a seba because they sat with a seba. Same thing with matzah. They ate matzah, they ate mara, so I ate matzah and mara. Because I'm not trying to conduct the Seder under luxurious terms of 2023. I'm trying to conduct the Seder by perpetuating their behavior in 2448. Different terms, different calendars, in 2448. Why does Hashem spend the week? Why is this an important medrash? Because the clock is ticking. In 7 weeks, they're going to have to morph from slaves who have been downtrodden and have their spirits broken and been treated like sloth and dirt into people that are Mamlechas Kohanim and Gai Kadosh standing underneath Har Sinai being Mekabel Devar Hashem. So part of the process of building respect and building pride and building self-esteem is that Hashem treats them to a 7-day banquet. And they eat like, and they are them not like avadim. Now, part of the message here is not just what you should do one day a year in Pesach. Oh, now I know that a seva has historical precedent. It's not just existentially meaningful, because it isn't existentially meaningful today in our codes, but it has historical resonance, and that's what makes it meaningful. But the way you eat at the table determines your self-esteem. It doesn't mean you should take courses in table etiquette, but just sometimes Bnei Torah don't fully appreciate how important table manners are. Just appropriate table manners to restore your dignity. Chazal say that when we had a mizbeach, the mizbeach was mechaper. Now that we don't have a mizbeach, the Gemara in Bracha says, we'll learn this in the summer, shulchan shalad the mechaper, the way a person sits at the table. We have times in life where you're closer to being an animal, by definition, when you go to the bathroom, when you procreate, when you eat food. Those are the times it's important, through privacy and dignity, to retain your humanity. When you're studying Torah, your humanity is obvious. You're studying Hashem's Torah. You're far from the world. A couple of minutes, you'll be in the dining room. You'll be closer to the world of animals. Animals are eating now. They're hay. We're eating cornflakes and milk. So it's important to always maintain that difference. Okay, one other matter, since we're piling through Midrashim. They're standing at the Yam Suf. Moshe starts to daven. And Hashem says, Ma titzaka lai, dabo b'nei so v'iso. What are you complaining about? Just start traveling. So there are 7 or 8 different versions of the Midrash. What Hashem told Moshe. We're not going to say all 7 or 8, maybe 1 or 2. One version is, Hashem told Moshe, Am Yisrael davened already. If you look at a few psukim earlier, like Zachor Hashem, he davened to Hashem. Hashem is telling Moshe, actually listen to tefillahs. You don't have to daven again. Actually, remember, tefillah is something which is not obvious after 210 years of silence. For the Avos, it was obvious that the tefillahs were answered. But for 210 years, Am Yisrael's tefillahs either didn't exist or weren't answered, at least in their minds. And you don't see any tefillahs, essentially, throughout the entire process of the Gula. They never daven. This is really the first time that they're actually davening to Hashem. It's like, well, Hashem, they're davening to Hashem. So Hashem tells Moshe, yeah, actually listen to people's tefillahs, and I respond to people's tefillahs. You don't have to tell me again. The tefillahs, this is a short version of the Medrash. The Medrash says that I already deliver this inheritance of tefillah to Bnei Yaakov, Hakol Kol Yaakov. I understand that their needs are. Start the process. I've heard their tefillahs. We'll stop here. There's on. Onto other versions of the Medrash, okay? You guys had a short talking today. Enjoy the long breakfast. We'll get some reinforcements in the session.